5 p.m. Tuesday, January 10th. I'd like to call the meeting to order and acknowledge that the press and public were duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. Nicole, will you mind doing a roll call?
Councilmember Bogosian?
Here.
Councilmember Hahn?
Here.
Councilmember Myers? Councilmember Ward?
Here.
Councilmember Streetman?
Here.
Councilmember Popson? Councilmember Anderson?
Here.
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Mayor Pounds?
Here.
Mayor McCorn?
Thank you. Citizens' comments?
No, sir. Nobody signed up.
Thank you. We have no special presentation. Dashboard of City Operations. Douglas, you're up, pal.
You want to go over it high level?
Okay. I hear Desiree running right now.
That's what
no.
We'll get into a little more detail around revenues and expenses. Maybe you have the dashboard or not? Sorry, I'll finish the second thing. There it is. We'll get into revenues and expenses in a little more detail in just a moment. Department heads will also give us some reports here in a moment, some highlights, and we'll go into that in detail. You can see our openings, one patrol in police, CDL driver in the public works world, and we're at an assistant director, and one supervisor. You see our upcoming community events. Desiree, do you want to jump in here? You keep going.
Well, I just wanted to highlight, I know that it shows here that we have one vacancy in police. I think we're going to have one of our officers that left recently come back. So we're really excited about that. And I think it's going to be the first time in a long time that we're fully staffed in our patrol officer's position. So really proud of the work that the chief has been doing to get the staff where it needs to be.
That's great.
So good news is we're going to be fully staffed for the season.
Chief, take a picture, man. And Desiree, if we just want to fold into departmental reports, that would be great.
Yes. We can start with police department. I think that's the order that it's in the packet.
And in your packet, you've got the full reports, but we just asked the department heads to get highlights or anything they feel like we need to see. Chief?
Good evening. So I'll keep it brief. She already talked about the officer. We're really excited about that. Should be a conditional offer for him tomorrow, and hopefully within the week we'll have him on staff, and we will be fully staffed police officers, and we're getting ready to roll out beach service officer flyers this week, and I think we actually started everybody on the coast now reaching out, talking about wages as we were calling, asking them. So now all the chiefs are emailing me, asking the same thing. A couple things to point out. Livability in the future. Desiree and Douglas and I met back in December to revamp our report to add one specific to livability concerns. So starting next month, you'll see that because every month we come to you, we're a month behind. So this month you're seeing December stats. Next month you'll see January stats, and you'll see a livability report that starts in 2023 that will cover specific to livability things. Another thing I wanted to bring up, we've had a lot of conversations about speed and radars. We budgeted to purchase a mobile speed sign that is also a radar that we can move around throughout the island. It's not the trailer one that you see. We still have that one, but we have another one that's smaller, that's a sign that we can hook brackets and set it up real quick and move it around. It'll gather the same data for us. So we've got that. We're learning how to use it and getting everything preset for that. So you'll see that coming out in the next couple of months. And that's it, unless you've got something specific to me. I will give you real quick livability. We did have 19 warnings when Kasky came in. In August, he started tracking these, and from August through December, we had 19 noise complaint warnings, and only 5 tickets had to be issued. All the other ones became compliant when they realized that we were coming next with a big hefty ticket. And the other 5 were all at one location.
Chief, is he still? Go ahead, John. I was just going to ask. We had a session once where I thought he was going to go around neighborhood to neighborhood, kind of in. Introduce himself with livability, see if they've had any issues. Is he still on the path?
He's working on that. The number of complaints that we're getting for other things that aren't just livability have really pulled him in a lot of directions that we weren't necessarily planning. So he's actually doing all of it at one time, but it's not the planned methodical approach we initially talked about. He's getting complaints kind of in clustered areas, and he's using that as an opportunity to make contact with residents and build that relationship.
Okay.
And is one of the open positions still the extra livability person?
That's correct, yes, sir.
Are you having trouble getting that filled? Is
that's
that...
correct. It's a part-time, we had it as a part-time seasonal, and it was not something that was getting filled, so then we even left the seasonal off and just put it as part-time, and we still weren't getting many applicants. We had one promising one that found a job somewhere else, and we didn't even get to really start the process before he moved on.
That's an important one to get filled, obviously.
Yeah, Chief, I was just going to ask about the BSOs. I mean, you say you'll start gearing up on that. So do we have 9 or 10 vacancies? Is that what are we looking to fill, at least 10 positions in that role? Or?
So we use 9. The 10th BSO position actually funds part of the code enforcement position. So we have 9 vacancies that will fill the beach service officers, and that's what we're looking to fill.
Okay. Think you'll have any returns from last year, or most of them are fairly new?
You never know. I mean, there are certainly some that we want to reach out to and encourage to come back, and we hope that we do get some. It's always better when we do, because we don't have to retrain them and they come in and hit the ground running.
Right.
We do pay incentive pay for those people that come back, that come in at a higher rate than everybody else.
Yeah. Don't you do? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Well, I'm sorry, one last thing. I have a list of things that we're going to talk about at Public Safety Committee meeting. I'll make sure it's good, you know, as far in advance as possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Great, thanks.
All right. Chief, is it possible in the future under the animal control stats, the types of animal control, can y'all add coyote so that we can see if there's a coyote problem? We've had multiple sightings in my area anyway, coyotes very recently.
Yes, sir. So sightings are tracked on your first initial page. We've got a spot down there for sightings. You don't see them on that second one because it's not necessarily a call that the animal control officer goes out to remove a coyote or anything like that. But you do, it's on the left-hand side of activity summary, second from the bottom.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Fire Department.
Jim.
Paul Harris.
Hey, how are y'all doing? Okay, I'll be brief as well. I know we have a great schedule. So December, we had 99 calls for service in December that you'll see in the report. We had 5 calls for either automatic or mutual aid received. So we received aid on 5 occasions in December. And then in January, to highlight that, we started auto aid January 4th. And on the way back from the ceremony, engine 1002 was actually dispatched to Ananap to an apartment complex because they were about a quarter of a mile or less away. So coming back, and they were first on scene, it ended up being a fan in the bathroom, an exhaust fan that had shorted out. So there was nothing found there, but as we were coming back, they made that response. They did a wonderful job. So from January 4th until now, we've had 5 total calls that were auto aid, and 3 of those were fire alarms to Mount Pleasant. Both 2 of those calls, we were canceled en route. We never left Isle of Palms. And then we responded to assist Mount Pleasant automatic aid for a building fire on Mack Road. We had our battalion chief and our engine who was staffed here at Station 1 who responded, and that is the bulk of our calls. So we have not received any auto aid through the group since January 4th, but I expect that we will. But we did provide aid for 5 times since January 4th. And those are kind of the highlights I just wanted to hit. Nothing else outstanding in the report.
That was an excellent coverage that Channel 2 did of the mutual aid meeting that you all had. Very well done, and certainly highlighted Isle of Palms and the relationship we now have in the community here with the others.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes, it was great to have Mayor Pounds there, Ms. Fragoso, and Mr. Carr as well. And all the mayors were there, which is a rarity to get all those fire chiefs from those municipalities and public service districts and the mayors there together. So that was nice to see. That was a special treat for sure.
I'd just like to ask, because of the work that we're doing with the South Carolina DOT and the connector improvements, what kind of emergency calls are we getting? How many do you respond to in a month, in the month of December and last year for health-related emergencies?
So EMS calls?
Yeah.
Well, as you can see on our first page, it breaks the total call volume down by month, and you can see that our heaviest hitters are in, we had 106 in 2022 in May, 119 in June, July, 126, August, 121. Now, those are our obviously heaviest months because we have the most visitors. And then when you look down, we see 34% of those are classified as rescue and EMS calls across the board. So generally around 700 calls annually is what we get on Isle of Palms that are rescue or that are medical related. So sometimes the data, how the call is classified, we may be dispatched as one thing, and when we get there, we find something else. So the data can be skewed by 2 or 3% based upon, you know, if we classify the call as an advanced call, like a paramedic level type call, Charleston County EMS may see differently. We may classify it as a basic or just a basic first aid call, but they see something else that we don't see, or the patient condition changes. And so there could be a small variance there, but typically we're around 700 calls for service for those incident types.
And what percentage of your total calls are medical related?
It varies over a year. COVID, when we went back to look at COVID, that was a down year. When we were Chief Hathaway and I were pulling those numbers. But on the third page, it breaks those out per month. And then the percentage for 2022 was around 55%. And that also is, you know, in 2019, when we pulled the data, we were talking earlier, just a few hours ago, and we had almost 1,200 calls, around 1,100 calls, I believe, in 2019. And then during COVID, we dropped significantly. And then this past year, we were under 1,000 calls, just under 1,000 calls.
Yeah, total.
Okay. We had a conversation a few months ago about exploring the possibility of having our own EMS service on the island. Were you still interested in having that conversation?
Absolutely, yes, sir. In fact, we reached out to Deputy Chief Wynn at Charleston County EMS today. We've reached out to a few of our different stakeholders to get information. So we're in the research gathering stage now, where we're searching all our options of what our deployment model would be. And, you know, I know with your CPA background, with the numbers, and you know, I know you talked about, you know, if we have a ladder truck responding, you know, $1.5 million piece of apparatus responding to someone who doesn't need that service, how can we be more efficient?
Yeah.
And we look to highlight those.
Great.
So, yes, sir, absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The chief and I are meeting later this month. I've asked them to put together a proposal with different options for us to review and see what other data we can gather for you all. So we're just trying to be as comprehensive before we bring it before you all.
That'd be great.
On what that would look like.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think the best part of that too is the response time would be cut terrifically if we didn't have to wait for an emergency vehicle to come over from the mainland to service a medical call over here. So I think that would really, really help all of us on the island feel more comfortable.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. We're going to, in that research, and I'll be giving it to Ms. Fragoso, and she'll direct me how to, you know, get additional data points or how to present it so it speaks to y'all, because we know data, you know, drives that needle for change. So we're looking at, you know, the capital cost, the efficiency piece, you know, the level of service, what the personnel cost would be, the training, all those different pieces, so y'all can look at it, evaluate it, ask us the questions, and we can go back to the drawing board, get more answers, and see what you're comfortable with and what you would like to support.
There's one more that I'd ask you to add to that too, and I know you have to staff at 3 shifts a day, I'd imagine.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd love to see the option of having only 2 shifts with the graveyard shift. We could still have the mainland service, us, when we don't have any traffic on the roads. So just look at that as an option for us, please.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. I'll reach out. DHEC has certain requirements for a paramedic level service on how we're required, once we stand up an apparatus, what we're required to do. So there are certain requirements there, you know, put in place by DHEC. So, but I'll research that.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Chief, thank you.
Okay. Thank you all.
Donnie Pitts. Welcome.
I will be brief. So the one thing, one concern for me for my December dashboard under the Public Works, not the city dashboard, if you'll notice the $12,380 bill I got for PW22, one of my Packers, the wiring harness got ripped out. We had to replace a wiring harness. That was a big hit. So this budget cycle I've had unusual three large hits, the IT-14G during the storm, PW22, and then I had scheduled a refurbishment of my 20-yard Packer in the beginning of my fiscal year. So I've had three big hits that's probably taken up about 60% of that budget. But we'll try our best. But be aware there may be a budget buster right there. And also, thanks to Amy, we're going to have a shred day, not recycle, shred day on May 9th. And it will be, I think, in the parking lot. That's the confirmed now. Tuesday, May 9th.
Municipal parking lot.
Municipal parking lot. Amy got that scheduled, but it's shred day only. No hazardous waste. That's all I have.
Great.
Any questions?
Did you say Tuesday, Donnie?
It's a Tuesday.
Not a Saturday.
No. And that, so in my conversation today with the city administrator, that's actually a good thing because, you know, historically the habit for Saturdays would be a lot of hazard, and I don't want to be saddled with a lot of leftover things that be difficult for the city to dispose of. So a couple changes there, but anyway.
Thank you, Donnie. Carrie, welcome.
Thank you. So November and December are kind of wind down months for us as we are finishing and letting everybody kind of enjoy the holidays. But January is a big kickoff for us. So last week we started youth basketball games. We run those three nights a week and then on Saturday afternoons. And then everything starts this week and next week. So all of our youth classes, adult classes, our fitness classes are about all full except for two. So looking into some more opportunities there, hopefully, with maybe some new instructors and new classes. Tonight we had a free pop-up yoga class for 11 to 18-year-olds, so this is also a new age group for us. It's a very hard age group, I would say, to get them to do anything. So we're excited and hope this works for them. Events that we're working on, Doggy Day in February, Front Beach Fest in March, yard sales in March, Easter in April, so we're already planning on all of those. And then as for our staff, we have Mike Lund started last week, and he is our new grounds keeper, Parks and Grounds Maintenance. Kelsey Marsh was promoted to events specialist, so he's been working hard on all of our events since Janae left us in December after the Holiday Street Festival, so he was promoted to that. And so we are looking for a new recreation specialist and assistant rec director. So that's kind of where we stand right now.
Questions?
Thanks,
Abby.
All right.
Everyone else for
that's all we got.
All right, we'll move to item six, nothing under livability or environmental. First one is item C, public services, discussion and reconsideration of proposed projects requests for the transportation sales tax fiscal 24 allocation program. You've got a sheet in your packet detailing the amounts, the due dates, and kind of some ideas around what we might want to submit. So, Desiree, you want to update?
Sure. This is a program that we participate on every year, the transportation sales tax. We, in the past 26 years, the city has received about 23 projects that have been funded through either the Charleston Transportation Committee, the CTC funding, or the TSD, which is the one that we're talking about now. We always make some recommendations to City Council. The application to the county has to include a vote and approval by council. Because at the end of the day, whatever project is completed, the city assumes maintenance responsibility for. So they want to make sure that the policy-setting body recognizes that and commits to continuing the funding and maintenance of said projects. Some examples of projects that have been funded in the past include the installation of a sidewalk at 28th Avenue that connects from Boulevard and the Rec Center, the design and the construction of the intersection improvements at the end of the connector and Palm Boulevard. The city has received funding for several drainage projects in the past, the construction of the handicap parking spaces on 21st Avenue were funded by this project. So we've had a variety of work done and funded by the county. this year, the available funding, as you can see in that one sheet, it includes $1 million for new local paving projects. We don't have a whole lot of dirt roads, so we don't have many projects identified for that. But for the pedestrian and bike enhancement projects, we do have some suggestions. When I sent you all the notice several weeks ago, I know some of y'all had responded with some ideas, which we've included in this sheet for you all to discuss and give us direction about, you know, what projects to submit as part of our application. We can submit more than one. They have to be prioritized, so we would get that feedback from you all as well. And that application needs to be submitted by mid-February. So I'm hoping that we can have some discussion and some guidance and direction today, and we can finalize it by your next meeting at the end of January so that we can submit a complete application packet in February. The projects that are included here include the installation of crosswalk and pedestrian sidewalk on this end of Palm Boulevard. That is something that we have the breach inlet side of Palm Boulevard. That is something that we have been notified by some residents in in that end of the island, folks that live on Merritt, the Exchange Club. There is no crosswalks and no sidewalks, from 10th Avenue to breach inlet. So that's one of the things that we thought about internally, be a good project for us to pursue. Noting too that there's only $800,000 available for the entire county. We broke it out as a phased project so that we can year by year maybe apply and get additional funding. That's something that the city could fund through other sources as well. But we identified starting at Breach Inlet, extending that sidewalk on the land side of Palm Boulevard. I'm sorry, the ocean side of Palm Boulevard. And then installing a crosswalk at 2nd and where the Exchange Club is, and then continuing that pattern through until it connects to 10th Avenue. And that way we would be connecting Breach Inlet to the commercial district through that sidewalk. Another suggestion was to repair and widen the existing concrete sidewalk at 21st Avenue. We only have a section there in front of the church. The other sections are just asphalt. It's just an asphalt sort of extension of the road. That's, one idea for you all to consider. The number three, installation of bike path on both sides of Palm Boulevard between 21st and 41st Avenue. That is a project that the city had been submitting for many, many years to this program and had never been funded. I think it's just because it's too expensive and, they just probably discounted it because of that. But that's something that historically we have been, we have been including in our list of priorities. We hadn't for the past 2 years because we identified some smaller projects that ultimately got funding. But we can certainly include that. I think just keep in mind the work that we're doing with SCDOT and trying to get a design and engineering. We're starting at the conceptual level, conceptually identifying opportunities to enhance and Palm Boulevard and include pedestrian and bike plus parking and, you know, make all of that make sense, have a cohesive plan for that section of Palm. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about this project as a potential option for funding. That is something that we continue to work with DOT on. Another suggestion was for us to pave the existing golf cart path at 21st Avenue. There are some challenges with that because the golf cart path does go over private property. So we'd have to go through, you know, potentially abandoning sections of that path. It's only one option for you all to consider. And then the fifth and final project for your consideration would be to convert the existing sidewalk on the land side of Palm Boulevard between 21st and 41st, which could also be considered as part of the work that we want to do with SADOT and reconceptualizing or reconfiguring all of Palm Boulevard.
Desiree, what are typical awards for this? What are we, like $100,000 per project or something, or what's the?
I know the projects that they have funded for the city, I don't think they've ever exceeded about $200,000. So they range between that.
So Desiree, have these requests already been made?
No, sir.
Okay, so you're asking for our approval of what you just mentioned here also?
Yeah, we'll vote on it at council meeting, so they get the February deadline.
Okay.
Desiree, what's the timing on the expectation from DOT to come give us their conceptual? Because it does look like a lot of these, at least from three on, might, if they come in with another plan, and I don't know how long it's going to take to come to fruition, but this could be rework. If we invest in this and it's a different project from what they come back with, I mean, what's your advice on that?
Actually, I reached out to DOT folks earlier last week, and they indicated that the conceptual renderings for Palm Boulevard should be completed by the end of spring. I've asked for them for a kickoff meeting so that we can all meet with Jennifer, Bill as well, so that we are part of that development process and we can provide feedback just like we did with the IOP connector. I thought that that yielded really good results, so I'm hoping that we can start scheduling those meetings with the consultant very soon, but I think that the timeline that was given to me would be towards the end of the spring.
So on the timing, should we defer any of these, say, three and beyond on our list here until we see what that rendering is?
Knowing that we're going to be working with DOT on that, you know, conceptualizing ideas for Palm Boulevard, I would not include any project related to that in any of our requests to Charleston County TSD. I think we should focus on small but high impact projects, focusing on bike and ped, something that's more manageable and, low cost, so that it has a higher chance of getting funded. You know, one thought to you, just so that you all know, they don't have to all be construction projects. We have received funding for design and engineering, small drainage projects, and combining that with the creation of parking. We did that at 21st Avenue, the handicap parking space is there. So funding could be requested for other than construction for design and permitting as well.
So you have to have an answer tonight, or can we mull over it and maybe go through the committee process? Because it sounds like to me, based upon the criteria being low cost, there's only one out of the five that sounds like in your eyes it qualifies, and that would probably be pay the 21st Avenue, the existing concrete sidewalk repairing and whatever that is. Everything else is tied up with other stipulations. I mean, you know, of course I'm interested in the golf cart path, but I know there's problems and restrictions there, and it might not be able to get worked out even next year. So back to my original question, do you need recommendation tonight?
I do not. I do need them by the end of the month, because once I get direction from council about what you all support moving forward, we do have to prepare that application. There's a narrative. I mean, there's just a packet that needs to be developed, and that has to be submitted by mid-February.
Okay, I'd just like some more time to explore it,
yeah.
Especially on the committee level, that we can have more in-depth conversation.
about where it might originate there and then flow back through here, if the rest of council is in agreement.
Desiree, do you just, do we submit one project on this? I can't remember from prior years.
We have submitted two, we have submitted three in the past. You know, one would get funding, but we can submit more than one, and then we just have to prioritize which one's more important to us.
I have one more question. I think the Planning Commission had at some point maybe entertained some options for some beautification or something down at the front of each parking lots to maybe spruce those up a bit. I don't know, but that might be an additional project. I don't know if those are qualified potentials, but even for a couple hundred thousand dollars, are there things we could do there that might qualify to do some reconfiguration or to help with the infrastructure there for the parking?
That's a good idea.
I'd just like to know how you came up with this list. Was it just suggestions from council? Or?
The first one, it's the staff's, what we have been working on for a few years. We have been communicating with residents on that end of the island, requesting the city to pursue the installation of crosswalks. Mm-hmm. Crosswalks are not able to be installed unless there's a sidewalk adjacent to it. So we thought this would be a perfect opportunity to extend the sidewalk so that we can have a crosswalk. So the first one is our suggestion. The other ones came from council after I sent you all that notice.
Okay. I would suggest that in the future it might be useful to have, if we had an onboard transportation engineer who could categorize things as they come in to the community, it might help us systematically go through and year to year make gradual improvements along there. I guess the first one that y'all picked out is certainly a good example of that. When you start extending the sidewalk, we do however much money they have every year to get it done.
Rusty.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, just one comment in regards to the projects for consideration. I did ask that 1A, which was extend the existing sidewalk from Breach Inlet to 2nd Avenue, and particularly install a crosswalk on Palm Boulevard near 2nd Avenue, which is across from the Exchange Club. I ask for that because I think any of us who are either members of the Exchange Club or go down there quite frequently see that it's booked a lot now. We have a lot of traffic around the Exchange Club, and many members of the Exchange Club live back in the avenues or off the avenues, or maybe park at a neighbor's house or whatever. So there's a lot of foot traffic going back and forth across the pond, you know, during the Exchange Club meeting hours. So, and plus we have the area out there also where they've installed the new bulkhead, and that's getting a lot more traffic too, both foot traffic and auto traffic too. So I think that would be something worthy, hopefully, when you deal with it in committee, that you would take into consideration.
Just looking at the calendar and the schedule, council meets the 24th. The Public Safety Committee will meet on the 26th, and I need to have a documented vote of council for whatever project we submit, and the deadline is mid-February. So I don't know. We can certainly try to move the Public Safety Committee meeting before the 24th, and we could do that. I know we've had challenges trying to schedule out any earlier than the 26th, but
do you feel you have enough to go on to not have to go to the committee?
That's going to be up to you all.
Well, maybe, excuse me, I'm sorry, running early going. I might suggest that individual members of the Public Safety Committee contact you, because our meeting is after the City Council meeting. Contact staff between now and 24th. To give you their ideas for something that might be on there.
Mm-hmm. I think if there's anything in addition to the ones that we've talked about today, because a lot of them came from members of council, if there's anything else that we want to consider and talk about, we can certainly communicate that to me, and we can have that discussion on the 24th, and you all make a final determination at that time.
Okay.
To that end, number six might be reconfiguring the crosswalks from 41st to 57th so they match up with the actual beach paths.
Yeah. I'll add that. I think that's a great idea.
But it does seem that number one is kind of the only one that jumps out as like something that we really
one or two
could and should
two,
do
two
now. Except that that could possibly be connected with the Palm Boulevard.
But
right,
that's
or
the problem.
Would that not be?
No, 21st is from the church to Waterway.
So that's not Palm.
Okay. Yeah.
One and two seem pretty doable.
21st.
Yeah.
Pretty rocky.
We're only going to get one.
Okay. All right.
Thank
Desiree,
you.
Oh, sorry.
No, okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Next item is E, other items up for discussion. Update on RFP for design and engineering of elevator at the Marina restaurant. Desiree?
So that RFP is out on the website. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the deadline to receive proposals is
February 10th.
I was thinking mid-February, but we'll be getting proposals, and this is just for the design and engineering of adding a restaurant, an elevator to the restaurant. I know that last time we chatted about this, the direction was to pursue to try to get some concrete numbers about how much that would cost, because so council has not yet made a determination of whether or not the city is going to support, paying using accommodation tax funds or any other source of funding for the installation of a restaurant. So I was a little confused. You know, I went back and listened to the meeting again, because that is something that we haven't gotten direction yet on. And I think that the feedback at the time was the estimate that we did receive from Trident seemed too high, and we wanted to refine that and see if that was there was any flexibility within that. So that's the path that we're going, trying to get a proposal for an architect, essentially, to tell us how much it would cost to design, engineer, and install an elevator in that building.
Have we had any interest in it yet? Anybody calling and asking for?
We had reached out to two previously, really, to find out the cost range that they expected. So we do know of at least two that are interested, but it has just gone out. So there hasn't really been an opportunity to see if there's a lot of interest. But we do know and have had contact with two firms so far.
Rusty?
Just to go even further back, this is just for those who may not know or may not remember, this is a follow-up item, the elevator in the Marina restaurant from really our to-do list from last year, basically, where we had originally there had been an elevator proposed in the restaurant. That got pulled because there were problems with being able to place it, due to some structural issues. And it came back up last fall, and motions were made, and it was passed that we would look into in the future, which we're now in the future, to look at the possibility of adding an elevator if someone could figure out what technology could be used to do that, and also to explore using accommodations tax monies to help fund full or in part. So I'll just leave it at that. I know there's still a lot of work to be done.
When will the question come up whether council approves of the project, no matter what the cost?
When we get this RFP back. I mean, right now I think we had a very high level guesstimate of a price point, and this will refine that price point, and then it's going to be a decision to be made at that point.
So the response will not refine the construction cost. It's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $25,000 for the design. So that's the only piece that we'll get back at this point. But I think your question is, if the estimates are correct and it's 200 and some odd thousand, is the city going to pay that amount, right? I think that's your point, correct, Councilman?
Pretty much, except I would delete the $200,000 and put zero.
But that's your question.
What's your question? Is council on board with absorbing the cost of this? No,
the ultimate construction, not just the design cost?
Yes.
Well, in
that's the question. When will that come before council?
Well, once we receive proposals for the design, that's going to have to be, you all have to decide whether you want to approve it or not. So at that point, you'll have an opportunity to decide that.
Right. I just wanted some wanted to be, have some clear answers on it, that's all.
I think there's another component to it. Are we getting the ongoing maintenance costs that are going to go on, or the estimates for that? I think that might be a good ask, because the elevators aren't cheap to maintain. Something goes wrong, parts, and they'll, the respondents should have a history of those, whatever they're proposing, would have a history of what those costs might be for that particular model that they're proposing, and that's a very expensive. The ongoing maintenance of those things is not cheap.
Is that something we could require our tenant to maintain, because?
It's probably all part of the consideration. I mean, you look at a 10 or 20 year life on the lease for maintenance of an elevator, it's going to be a big number.
The one other thing I'd like to add too is, there was an elevator originally scheduled to be put in as part of the restaurant construction. And they, because of complications in where it was located, it wasn't put in that way. But there was a dollar amount with that original elevator?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't, yeah. No? I think it was conceptual.
Conceptually
added to design documents, but
where I'm going with this is, I would love to be able to require that the tenant who had committed to installing a restaurant at least contribute the amount that he had committed to originally. But I wasn't part of those negotiations.
Yeah, so. More to come. We need bids and come to council and have a conversation about moving forward or not.
Great, thank you.
Next item is financial review. Amy, thank you. This is in your packet. This is through December 31st, so we're halfway through our fiscal year, 6 months. So 50% would obviously be the target on anything you see as a year-to-date from a budget standpoint. Top left corner, you see our revenues, $8.55 million for the year-to-date. A little bit under budget, but we'll look at a little bit of detail there in a minute. Expenditures on the right-hand side, about $9.5 million, so a little bit under budget, but ahead of, significantly ahead of last year where we were at this time. General fund, year-to-date revenues, you continue to see business license and building permits exceed last year's number, which were kind of all-time record numbers for last year as well, so that continues to perform pretty well. And then general fund expenditures on the bottom right, you can see almost everything's ahead of a budget, or certainly from last year's numbers. Go to the next page, Amy. Back up one. Yeah. Fund balance is about $34 million. Probably the good news out of that is our current interest earning rate there is 4.32%. So that's significantly higher than we've had, which will spin off a million-ish rough numbers in investment interest income. So not bad.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
4%.
Mm-hmm.
That's big money.
You can see the breakdown of the funds on the right-hand side. The last bullet there gives you the totals, $34 million in cash deposits, about 2.6 are unused bond proceeds, about 2.2 are the federal ARP money, and then 15.6 is restricted for tourism expenditures or beach preservation. See the second bullet, general fund expenditures at budget, but significantly higher than the prior year. You recall we approved the one-time cost of living adjustment for employees that got paid second week, I think, of December, if I remember right, and that's a $541,000 expense that is in that general fund expenditure number. We had talked about using fiscal 22 surplus for that payment, and we can certainly make that transfer at the end of the year. We can talk about this during the budget workshop, but my recommendation would be to leave it there so we have a good year-over-year comparison to our general fund expenditures from a payroll standpoint, but we can decide that at a later date. Questions on revenue or expenses? Scott?
Quick question. Are we going to have a conversation, I think we deferred it a couple of meetings ago, about the 1% or 2%, whatever percent sinking fund that I think we've discovered that it evaporates if it's not spent every year. And do we want to start looking at our facilities and take the opportunity where we do have surpluses to start developing and formalizing some kind of sinking fund so that we don't have to keep going out and maybe borrowing money?
Yeah, to me, that's a budget item.
that we'll kick off. We'll have a workshop probably.
We've done that in the past.
Yeah, February, March, Scott, and I'll just make sure we add that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Anybody
else? Budget. And the next page is the municipal accommodations fee. You can see our October payment, $154,000. That's for October heads and beds number, so this continues to be really strong. The next page is state accommodation tax. We've got the September quarter payment only at this point, $952,000, so it's about 11% added last year. Charleston County ATAX pass-through, we've only had one quarter payment so far there, $231,000, so it's lower than 23% lower than last year. Hospitality tax continues to just really be pretty incredible, $87,000 for November, and you can see it just running your eye across the prior years in November, just significantly higher than prior years, 21% increase over fiscal 22, which is a really strong year. Beach preservation matches the accommodation fees. It's about 7% under last year.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if January hospitality tax numbers come in lower because so many restaurants closed down for renovations. Mm-hmm. And some of them are just a few days, some of them are a couple of weeks. They're completely shut down.
Some are a few months.
Some are a few months.
The last one is local option sales tax, also very strong, $93,000 for the October month, about 9% ahead of last year. Last page, the only budget worksheet we have is for phase three drainage. And I think the only change we had was the change order we approved in December, which is about $63,000, just under.
That's correct.
For the pre and post video in the manhole at 30th Avenue. Just on this particular project in the top right in the gray box, you can see we still have about $435,000 left on the budget number, as well as about $207,000 left on the contingency number on this particular project. So I think we're in good shape. And you saw Desiree's note, they will kick off the road blockage next week at 30th and Waterway, which will last
29th,
which will last 8 to 10 weeks, give or take.
Will the road be closed the entire time for 10 weeks?
Yes, it will.
Yes, ma'am. Just the portion between 29th and 31st.
Yeah.
On Waterway.
That's Waterway.
Yes, right. And the traffic will be detoured down to Palm.
Yeah. And notices have been, I think Chief, y'all have had the Kowski putting out notices to residents in that area so they knew what was going on.
Yeah, I'm just losing control over here.
What else on financials, anything? Desiree, capital projects?
All right. We'll start with the phase three drainage project. We already talked about the road work and beginning the week of January 16th. Like the mayor mentioned, we did send out notices to all the folks that are on that area. We also issued a release in the paper that should be coming out, I believe, this week. Hopefully it's not as convenient as it could be. It will be for some for quite some time. I think that the timing is perfect. It's not in the season and it's not in the hurricane season. And we don't have a whole lot of choices when it comes to doing this kind of work. So we're excited that they're gonna start soon. I know that there was some lead time with the materials getting them in, and I think that once they start, it should flow pretty seamlessly. The 8 to 10 weeks is pretty conservative. They think that they can do it for much quicker, which would be great. But we want to set expectations high and surprise everybody when we complete it quicker.
Well, depending on weather, obviously.
And depending on weather, that's correct. On 41st Avenue this month, we've made some progress. We've received the critical area permit first week of this month. We're very excited about that. All the other permits, I know we've talked about a number of them, were pending on the critical area permit. So they should all start flowing pretty quickly. This is the project that's fully funded by the South Carolina Office of Resilience. They have engaged with Thomas and Hutton directly for the design and permitting and oversight of that project, which is really great because they've been the ones that we've been working on for many, many years on this project. They'll be secured directly by that office. and we have a meeting scheduled this week with them to start the kickoff for 40 Hurston. Our goal would be to start this project, the construction of this project, by the end of this year.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, just an observation. You know, the close down between 30th Avenue and Waterway for the conservative amount of time that we're going to be closed, it'll still be a number of weeks, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think we just should be aware that in all likelihood, that's going to push more traffic down 41st, up and down 41st because of that. And we do have, of course, renovation work going on at the Marina stores. It's closed right now, but the docks are open and, you know, the pumps are open down there. So, and, of course, we have the restaurant open also. So I guess I'm just making an observation. That's probably going to push more traffic up and down 41st during the period of time that we're closing this off, because it's going to be more inconvenient to get the Waterway, take the detour back up to Palm, and then back down.
Yeah. Probably right, Rusty. We'll see. The Comprehensive Drainage Master Plan, Davis and Floyd are wrapping up the report, cost estimate, and all other supporting documentation. Based on the two reviews that they conducted with the staff back in December, we expect their final deliverable this week, between this week and early next week.
So be ready for council meeting at the end of the month, or maybe?
Maybe. We want to review that internally and make sure the feedback that we've provided in our meetings have been incorporated and our questions are answered, but that's certainly a goal that we can, hopefully we can meet. The next steps for them...
Can we keep the conversation?
The next steps for them is to provide us with some feedback and recommendations on development standards. You know, they're going to be looking at fill standards, you know, roadway elevations, whether or not the city should increase the impervious area requirement. So those type of suggestions that the city at a policy level can do to address, you know, stormwater management in the future. And then they're also going to be meeting and talking with Robert in providing feedback on our maintenance schedule for all of our drainage systems on the island. So that's still pending, but at least we'll get the list of projects and priorities and cost estimates this month, which we're eager to see. The underground utility conversion project at 21st and Palm, still waiting on the contractor to provide us a construction start date. This has been like pulling teeth, I'm telling you. So I'm hoping that we can get this. It's not a long, complicated project. So once they start, we do believe that they'll be done quickly. But we're kind of on the waiting game here. And as soon as we know more, we'll certainly let you all know. They do know that, you know, no work will be done in the season. So I'm hoping that by spring, it's already completed.
How about we have a tree be trimmed? That would get them on it.
I know, right?
Right.
Yeah. Pickleball construction and the outdoor basketball courts, they actually start next week. So we should be seeing some movement there very soon.
How long will they take to complete?
3 years.
I believe by the end of March.
Like everything else.
I think that the original timeline had had them completed by spring, so end of March. Public dock and green space at the marina. We're meeting with the restaurant folks tomorrow morning to continue our conversations about the layout, the parking layout. And then I know we're trying to schedule a meeting with the new Public Services and Facilities Committee. So hopefully we can have
a... It's the new old committee.
I know. So we'll be bringing along any conversations and ideas and a proposal for you all to consider regarding the parking layout. The contract for the bulkhead repairs was executed, and they're actually also starting to work this month, and anticipated completion March 31st. And this is just as a reminder, they're going to be fixing the intercoastal side of the bulkhead and installing a 6-foot wide boardwalk along the entire side of the intercoastal, on the intercoastal side of the marina. So that should be really exciting. The permit, the OCRM permit application for the public redevelopment project was submitted in December. So now we're just waiting. You know, we had a permit before for the work that was planned to be done, very, very minimal work. This is a complete new permit. Shouldn't take that long for us to get the permit back, but by now I think we all know how that works. But, you know, I think that based on the estimates and the opinions of the engineers, we should be able to start construction on that by the end of this year. So our goal would be to do it in the off season if we get the permit back. So cross your fingers on that. The 34A beach access.
Desiree.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Did I miss something?
Yeah, I think you missed that last bullet.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah, the T-dock. So this is this bullet point has been, I think we've had it for a couple months now. This, before Mr. Schuler took control of the two leases, him and the restaurant and the restaurant folks with John and Dave, we met with them here to talk about the plans for the T-dock, and they both requested time to get Mike Schuler in and for them to have conversations about the best path for the T-dock. And you know that as you all know, is shared by both the marina operator and by the restaurant. You know, we know that Mike completed the transaction in December, and they're focusing on the marina store renovations. I don't know if those conversations have happened between the two of them, but we're meeting with the restaurant tomorrow, so we'll you know, start that conversation and see, you know, what they want to do with the T-dock. That piece of the dock system is permitted to be fully replaced. Through the budget conversations we had with you all, we decided to just put money in the budget to repair it. Some of the thoughts that they had was if the city would commit the same amount of money towards a, you know, replacement, whether or not that's something that they want to pursue. That those were just some thoughts that were thrown around, I think, by them. So I think they just want the opportunity to think through what they could do together differently and how the city would be supporting that. But we just, those conversations haven't happened since, you know, the transaction was completed last month.
Mr. Mayor?
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit off subject, but I was talking with an next door neighbor who said he has a boat, and a friend of his had called who lives off island and had come over to launch the boat and was amazed to find out how much the launch fee had been raised. And I quickly reassured my neighbor that for him it would be free because he's an Isle of Palms resident, but for off-island people it would be significant. And he mentioned, he says, come this spring you're going to have a lot of very angry boaters pulling their boats over to the island for the first time and discovering that things are not the same there. So I don't know whether you want, what we can do about it, except brace ourselves. But if there's any way to get the word out, I'm sure it'll spread like wildfire after the first.
Yeah, that's not our issue. That's really our operator issue.
Mention something. We've been saying for years, several councils have been saying for years, the Isle of Palms Marina is not a regional marina. It's an Isle of Palms Marina.
I think communication is going to be key, and them keeping us informed, you know, as to the practices, the you know, operational practices that you might hear about, and we'll certainly help educate, you know, the public and the residents and you all in case you get, you know, asked by members of the community on island or off island. But at the end of the day, that's an operational decision that he makes. And I think he was very transparent from, you know, throughout the process about wanting to cater to, you know, mainly to residents and not incentivizing as much the availability of that marina for off-island launching. It would still be available, but I think it's the cost is going to be more along with what the market
what the market rate would be.
It may be worthwhile, though, to put that information, you know, out very clear. Maybe, you know, if somebody's not willing to pay it, so they find out before they get down there, you know.
It'll make your life a lot easier, that's for sure.
I do know, you know, we've been meeting, even throughout the process, with his team, Coastal Marina's team, and, you know, they have a great, you know, we're getting to know them, but so far they've had a really great group of folks, very robust communications team and finance team. So I think they know that they're going to have to be very proactive in communicating to their customers about how it's going to be here at the IUP Marina.
Just to be fair, let's not throw Coastal Marina under the bus. They're following our direction. And we were very clear when we were talking to Mr. Schuler about what we expected and what we wanted. He's following our direction.
Oh, I'm not
doing what he said.
Yes.
Yeah. You're right. Just doesn't have any line of credit.
That's your
All right. So the 34 Beach Access ADA compliant boardwalk, I hope. If you haven't, I encourage you to go take a look. It looks great. The next piece is for the contractor to pour the concrete sidewalk. It's going to be pervious concrete along, you know, from the critical area, critical line down towards Palm. And that's happening this Thursday, I was told today, which I'm really excited about. And then afterwards, the contractor will be installing the two handicap parking spaces along Palm Boulevard. And then final project is the compactor at the small parking lot in Front Beach. It's looking great. I'm sorry I didn't include any pictures there. We went over and took a look at it today. It looks really good. There's just some cleanup that needs to be done and painting of that concrete wall. They also, the contractor, we also asked them to pour a new concrete slab where the recycling bins are located. That used to be on top of grass and gravel, and it just did not look really great. So they've done that. They did a really good job, and that should help clean that, maintain that area pretty clean. After that, there's also some electrical work that needs to be done, which is pending. I think in the next few weeks that should be completed. And then after that, we're going to be installing an odor control system that's going to be spraying good smells, I guess, I don't know, around the contractor to try to mitigate some of the concerns that are the neighbors have.
Quick question with that. The dinghy is at the Clump property, correct?
Yes.
Correct. It is my understanding that one of the reasons we did all this is because there was a rat highway between the dinghy and the dumpster. I don't know which way the rats were going, both ways, but there was a highway there. Currently, the contractor, and I understand why he did it, but there are holes in that concrete wall with grates, which seems to me to be the same rat highway. I think it'd be better, I don't know, but I would just suggest maybe we could close those off and let the drainage all go back into the city's lot.
Yeah, those holes will have screens in each hole with wire cloth so that
okay.
Shut off the highway. You got it. You got it. The highway will be closed.
This process has been long and it's been thought. It took a long time to complete, and I am really happy about it. It looks really great.
Good.
And a suggestion, have you thought about reaching out to the local high schools and maybe College Charleston Art Department for students painting murals on that, those walls, on the outside walls?
We haven't thought about that. I think a good idea. The contractor will paint it light gray, so it could be a good base for a future mural.
Yeah, just a suggestion, that's all.
Yeah. One thing too, towards the J.C. Long side, the dinghy's doing some improvements and some work there that should clean it up. There's a big area now that we are thinking that it would be a perfect space for golf cart parking, that we could designate it as golf cart parking. So we're working on that. I know that there's, you know, that road is SDOT owned and we're, you know, might need to get some encroachment permits, and that'll be in the future, but I think we're trying to maximize the space around that area now that it's cleaned up and nice, that maybe we can create some space for golf carts.
Well, a lot of people really appreciate the work that's done, and it looks a lot better.
I agree.
I mean, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Great. That's it for me, sir.
Thank you. Last item is a legislative report. We've had some exchange email traffic this week with our lobbyist. I think they're just back in session today, if I remember right. And so there's a lot of pre-filed bills. Who knows what's going to get attention at this point. So we will hopefully have our lobbyist either at the next workshop or the next council meeting in February, just to give us a little bit broader overview at that point. There being no further business.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All record at 6:06. Thank you all.
Good job.